Mr. Norrie, a pleasure to talk to you.
Thank you, sir.
Just a quick little thing. Something happened to me back in June of 2000. I used to be a telecommunications contractor, and I changed lights from the top of cell towers.
Ah, okay.
And
Not an easy job.
no, not at all. Anyway, I was hooked off on the top of a cell tower, and lightning hit the tower. Well, it knocked me out, and I was paralyzed for 6 days. After that point, but after that happened, I can literally drain batteries.
What do you mean?
Well, you know the big 1.5, the big square batteries
Yeah.
that go in your big flashlights?
Yeah.
I can take and I can drain it to nothing.
You have to hold it with
I just hold it
both
with my
hands?
hands,
Just one hand or both?
with one hand or both, either way.
Could
I
be
can
a
no
brand new battery.
brand new battery. I can no longer wear a cell phone, watch, or anything that has a battery in it, because it within minutes it's dead.
Have you
My wife handed me her cell phone the other day, wasn't thinking, because she knows about it,
Yeah.
and somebody wanted to talk to me. I put it to my ear. About 3 seconds later, you know, dead battery, and it was a fully charged cell phone.
I hope you never walk up to somebody who's got a pacemaker, for crying out loud.
Exactly. That's what your screener was telling me, asking me, you know, what am I going to do if I need a pacemaker? I'm just out
Do
of
you,
luck.
when you shake hands with people, I mean, do they feel
Oh, yes.
strange?
Oh, yes. Oh, yes. Oh, yeah. I can. My wife tells me all the time, you know, that I make her tingle,
Well, that's a
but.
good thing. I mean, but do you drain energy from people?
Now that I don't know, never had anybody tell me they, you know, that they felt weird or felt depleted after we shook hands or
I
anything.
wonder if they can test you for this.
But my wife's been wanting me to go out and grab the car battery.
Now, that would be interesting to see if that happens.
Yeah, because
How do
like.
you feel after these things are drained? I mean, do you feel energized?
Oh yeah, I can. I mean, I can basically feel it when the battery is drained. I can feel the electricity or the energy, you know, coming into me.
Do you need it?
No, not at all. But I mean, it's an actual feeling. I mean, you know, it's like well, you've heard somebody tell you a story or something, and you get goosebumps.
Yeah.
That's the same way I get when I grab a battery. I get the goosebumpy feeling, and you can actually see the little goosebumps rise up on my arms.
I bet you just can't wait to grab these batteries. That is the weirdest thing I've ever heard.
It's strange. Like I said, there's no kind of battery that I've been able to grab a hold of that I haven't been able to drain. I haven't tried a car battery,
What
but
about the electrical units that are plugged in? Any
now
effect
I
on that?
have, believe this or not, I have grabbed a lamp. And the light dimmed on it.
Like one of those zzz, that kind of thing?
Well, no zit or anything like that. I mean, the light just the wattage in the light, the illumination of the light just dimmed.
You're a walking human something.
Yeah, my wife calls me her little storage unit.
Thanks for the call.
Thanks,
I'm
George.
glad you're okay too. But now that is a first. First time caller line too. You're on Coast to Coast. Hi there.
Hi,
Yes, sir.
George.
Yes, sir. Hi.
Hey, I got a story about some cattle mutilations. I grew up on a small farm in Utah,
Okay.
and we ended up having two of our cattle mutilated by what nobody ever gave us an answer of what it was.
Did you ever speculate on what you thought might have happened to them?
Well, this is the story. It was my dad. He was going out to check the field, and he got out and was getting ready to go through the gate, and he had a couple of dogs with him. And as soon as they got out of the truck, they just started going really strange, and their hair on their back was standing up and everything. So he goes down into the pasture, and the dogs are down there, and he finds these two heifers, and they were pregnant. And when he found them, all the reproductive organs had been removed, and they didn't really see much of an incision, but there was absolutely no blood around it. There was no tracks like car tracks, you know, driving up to it or nothing. And they did an autopsy on them, and they found a small, kind of like an area where it was microwaved in the neck of each one of them. And there was no answer. You know, it was in pretty tall grass, so if it had been a helicopter come down, it would have kind of
Knocked it
pushed the
down a little
grass
bit.
down.
Did anybody report seeing any strange lights in the area or anything like that?
No, but it was kind of during that time, like in the early 70s, when it was going on quite a bit. But nobody's seen anything.
I know this whole field of cattle and animal mutilation is very strange.
Yeah, it's weird the way they seem to go after reproductive organs on them. I don't understand.
That's a good point. Now, were other farmers in the area, other ranchers, do they have problems, do you know?
Not in this area, but it seems like it was going on around the western states at that time.
After these two, that was it? Or did
That
it ever happen?
was it. Yep, that was it for around here.
Yeah, I mean, I don't know what it is. Thanks for the call. I have no idea what's been going on, but one sometimes wants to think that whatever is doing it tested them before, and then they were coming back to check on them, and that's what they wanted. Let's go to our next wild card line. You are on Coast to Coast. It's your turn. Hi there.
Hello.
Yes, sir.
Hi, George. Long-time listener, first-time caller.
Well, welcome to the show.
Thank you. I've heard a couple of times say that they thought they were paralyzed and were taken, you know, maybe abducted. But I remember one time sleeping and feeling like I was being led out of my room. I was horizontal, and there was a back door to my room. I slept on the sun porch in our house.
Almost like you were floating out?
Exactly. And I'm not going to say that I have any recollection of little people bringing me, but I was only about a foot off the floor. And I realized that I was moving towards my back door. And I wanted to stop it. I wanted to stop it more than anything, and I couldn't. But I realized that I couldn't move as well. And when I woke up the next morning, I slept on a futon, which was close to the floor. I got out of bed and fell flat on my face because both of my legs were asleep. You know, the tingling feeling you get in your feet.
Oh, yeah.
Both of my legs, entirely from femur down to toes, were completely asleep, and I fell flat on my face. And I've just heard it a couple of times, and if anybody's ever experienced it, you're not the only one.
All right.
Yeah.
I'll tell you one thing, too. One of the worst feelings in the world, a cramp in your little toe. You feel as if it's bent over the other toe, and you look at it, and it's not, but it's got that feeling, and it doesn't go away. Let's go to our scary hotline. You're on Coast to Coast. Hi there.
Hi.
Where are you?
I'm in Sioux City, Iowa.
And what happened to you?
Well, we have a ghost that's been here for about 5 or 6 years. It could have been longer, but we never was aware of it.
Now, after 5 or 6 years, it couldn't be too scary.
Well, it got to be that point because I got curious. And so it was always just seems to be in my bedroom. And it got to the point where everybody thought, they'd laugh at me, so I thought I was having a nervous breakdown or something until it got a little bit more where my husband noticed it.
Uh-huh.
Whenever we'd go to bed, it'd go between us and push us apart.
A little jealous ghost here?
Yeah, we just dealt with it. Well, then the grandchildren saw one of the little 4-year-old granddaughters saw, she wanted to know who the lady was laying in bed next to her grandpa. And her mom said, well, grandma's downstairs watching TV. No, not her, that lady. But nobody else saw it. But my husband was aware that he thought I was there. And then when he rolled over, there's nobody there. So, and then another granddaughter was sitting on the toilet, and she started screaming, and my son ran upstairs. She said, why'd that lady slam that door and walk through the wall? So then it started progressing where everybody in the family then was kind of aware things were going on. So I started getting really angry because I could not go upstairs and go to bed without this feeling of something coming over the foot of the bed and covering me.
And she didn't want you around, did she?
No, we always thought it was a man because the house is 120 years old and there was a man that died here many, many years ago, but
mm-hmm.
we never found anything about any women. And this started getting to the point where I couldn't even go to bed. I would come downstairs crying, and I wouldn't go upstairs unless my husband came. And he would feel around. He didn't feel anything. Well, one night he said, you stand by the light. It's an old house, so the only lights on the bedrooms upstairs are little wall lights. And we kept them like that because they're the old-fashioned that run down through the gas pipe.
Right, right.
He said, when I say turn the light on, you turn the light on. And when I did, there was an impression. He said, somebody sitting up against me. And here, you could see the impression on the bed. But you can't feel anything. And he'd brush it and it'd go away. So I just kept getting more curious. And I kept thinking, you're not going to scare me. I want to know who you are. And I crawled under my bed to see if there was something I was missing. And one night, it came up the foot of the bed, and it covered me to the point where it was like tons and tons of weight. I couldn't open my mouth.
I mean, like it wanted to suffocate you?
Yeah, and I thought, oh. I'm going to open my eyes because I'm going to see something. And I couldn't move, and I opened my eyes, and there's nothing there but the hair in my nose, you know, you can feel.
You could feel the presence of whatever it was.
So finally, after a few minutes, it was gone. Well, then I just really became really irate, and my husband he was an elevator inspector for passenger elevators, and he was in this church. He was telling this pastor about it, and he said, take this holy water, it's been blessed, and you sprinkle it around your bedroom. The first, next incident, that holy water, now that's been 4 years ago, and that bottle is still sitting on the dresser, and it will not open. He tried it with a pair of pliers and could not get the lid open.
You so it's never been open?
No. It's still sitting there in that bedroom.
Now, what about the apparition?
Well,
still coming around?
I decided I wanted to really see what was going on, so I got me a VCR camera. And I covered all the mirrors, everything that might reflect any kind of light, but I never got anything with the VCR camera, so I took a regular camera.
Still camera, you mean?
A regular still camera, and I waited. And when the feeling came up over the foot of the bed, I snapped the picture.
With or without a flash?
Without a flash.
Without a flash, all right.
It was the most hideous picture. I mean, I cried, and I cried. It was like it was red, and it had big, long arms. You could see the arms, the chest. You could see where the arms, you know, under the arms to the chest. The head, the face was horrible.
Was it like the devil?
It's exactly. It was the most horrible thing I've never seen anything like
this. You still have this picture? Can you get this to me?
No.
Oh.
I kept it, and I showed it to so many people. And finally, it just got to the point where one night, it grabbed hold of me, and it just whipped the heck out of my face. And I am screaming. I've got an old brass bed that has brass rungs on the top, and I'm hanging onto that, and I'm straight out, and I'm screaming. My husband comes upstairs, and he's reaching under me, over me, and this is trying to pull me over the foot of my bed.
Where was it going to take you?
I don't know. Finally, he just hollered, in the name of Jesus Christ, let her go, and it was gone.
And has it ever come back since?
It's here. It's still here now.
It is there.
But it's not violent. But I'm a Catholic, and the priest told me that I was giving honor to this by keeping this picture and to burn it.
Interesting.
So I burned it.
I wonder why it's a little more docile.
I don't know. We have moved downstairs, and I have a daughter and her husband and two girls that rent the upstairs. It is bothering them in that same bedroom.
Oh, so it's starting all over again, but with them now.
Yeah.
Why don't you move?
I am too stubborn. I am not going to let this take my house. It still bothers my husband and I down here in this bedroom. My son-in-law thought somebody was hollering his name, and the grandchildren will even, they accept it now, but my grown children will not go upstairs in this house if there isn't a whole bunch of people upstairs. Nobody will go upstairs by themselves. We had to put a bathroom in down here. My grown children.
Sounds like the house on the haunted hill.
It is just unreal, and we didn't realize that when we moved here way back in the 70s that my youngest girl was just a kindergartner, and she would always be talking to somebody on the stairway to the attic. But we just thought, you know, we never paid any attention.
Just thought it was a kid thing, right?
Yeah, yeah. And all this time, then when it started where we would see something, and just, well, it was probably about a week ago, I saw my husband come in and just go upstairs. And I thought, what's he going upstairs for? Because we usually don't go upstairs.
Right.
And he come in about 3-4 minutes later. It wasn't even him.
So what do you mean it wasn't him?
There, it wasn't him.
So this thing takes shapes too.
Yeah, you'll see it. I saw him carry a granddaughter upstairs one day, and I said, what are you putting her in that bedroom for?
You know, you need to get the house exercised, I think. At the end of the show, Dr. Morgus will be here with some of his words of wisdom. His website, by the way, if you ever want to take a look at Dr. Morgus, he is one weird fella. Morgus, MORGUS.com. Let's go right to the phones. Wildcard line, you are on the air. Hi there. Hello?
Hello?
Yeah, go ahead, sir.
Oh, yeah, okay. This is Jade from Salt Lake City.
Hi, Jade.
Yeah, hey, George. I'm a long-time listener, and I love your show.
Well,
I've got a
question
for you.
Thank you, sure.
Okay, could a person make a deal with the devil to have a guaranteed permanent stay in heaven after death?
Probably not. I don't think that's the one deal it would allow. Interesting question. Why do you ask that one?
Well, I heard your program the other night, and I was listening to Let's Make a Deal, and I was thinking, you know, if I could make a deal, that's the only deal I'd want to make.
Yeah, I think you'd have to make that with a man upstairs. Not the devil. Hey, thanks for your call. Appreciate it. Yeah, that was Art's open line on Sunday a couple weeks ago. Let's go next to the first-time caller line. You're on Coast to Coast. Hi there.
Hi, George.
Yes, sir.
Jared from South Dakota here.
Hi, Jared. Hi.
Yeah, I got a follow-up to the story you broke at the top of the show about the cell phone virus.
Yeah.
I kind of got an idea of how this is working and how it's draining the battery. What's happening is when your cell phone is on, it's constantly sending out a signal
right
to the towers. It's what we call a ping. And it sounds to me like this virus is getting into that phone and turning on this signal so it's constant.
Like you're on the phone, like you're
exactly
talking. Yeah.
And so if the battery is probably just going to last for the life of a call, like an hour and a half or 2 hours.
Mm-hmm. And you don't even know it. Right? It's in your pocket.
Exactly.
It's on a belt clip or something.
Exactly.
Yeah. What pretty ingenious way to do it. I wonder how they are able to pull this one off.
Well, I've kind of worked in the cell phone industry selling them, and we can program them over the air without them being connected to anything. And so I'm thinking while a person is in a call, or even, you know, nowadays they do their internet over the phone, that while they're connected, that's how the virus is getting uploaded into their phone.
Unlike a computer where we can download special software and things like that, what do you do with a cell phone that gets hit?
Well, it's pretty simple. It's just kind of like reformatting your hard drive on a computer. You can take it into a store, you know, the service company which you would be with, and what we do is we call a flash. And it's just a simple, it takes a couple minutes, and they flash the phone. It just pretty much reloads all the software on it.
What a pain in the neck, though.
Yeah, it's pretty much just a pain in the neck is what you
said. And then how do you know you've been attacked?
Well, you know, batteries do lose their
power, sure.
Power over time, but this is so quick. I mean, it would happen within an hour and a half or 2 hours.
Okay, so you could have a fully charged battery and figure, hey, there's something wrong here.
Right.
Okay, good point. Thanks.
Yep.
Wow. That's our technology information for the day. West of the Rockies, you're on Coast to Coast. Hi there.
Hello, George. I finally got through.
Yes, you did.
Yeah, this is Alan in Casa Grande, Arizona.
Sure.
First of all, I'd like to say thank you guys for the free Stream Lake weekend about 2-3 months back.
Oh, you're welcome.
Oh, that was really
we do that every once in a while.
There.
Yeah, that's a fun thing.
Yeah, two things I wanted to talk about. First of all is Atlantis. Who was it that originally wrote about Atlantis? Plato, correct?
Plato did.
Yeah, and who did Plato say built it? Neptune, Poseidon, one of those mythological creatures. Does that kind of tell you that Atlantis probably never existed?
Well, on the other hand, I was going to just say I think those mythological beings did exist. I think those Greek gods came down from another world, and they had assignments, much like a military would. And Poseidon was responsible for monitoring, maybe guarding a seafare, ocean fare, whatever. So therefore, you know, he was the god of water, the oceans, and Mars, of course, was in charge of defense. I think there was something else here. Something happened a long time ago. I don't know what it was.
Yeah, the second one was the Mayan calendar. I figured they just, you know, ended it sometime. They had to end. You had your caller or your guest last night in the last hour of the program talked about Zechariah Sitchin.
Yep.
I believe in what he says, that Zechariah Sitchin's readings or the way he interprets it is all wrong. I really don't think anything's going to happen in 2012.
Well, I don't think anything's going to happen in 2012 either.
At least nothing, you know, severe to mankind or the environment.
I think, if anything, it might be a moment of enlightenment for everybody. At least I hope so. All right, thanks. Thanks for the call. Appreciate it. Let's go to our scary hotline. You're on Coast to Coast. Hi there.
Hi there.
Yes,
my name is Isaac Cardenas. I'm a 21-year-old security guard.
Hello, Isaac. Where are you calling
Hello,
from?
Hello. I love your show.
Where are you, by the way?
I'm in... What? Oh, I'm guarding Kevin.
I mean, like, what city are you in?
I'm in New Braunfels, Texas.
Okay. Go ahead.
Okay. One thing I just want to get out of the way. Anybody who watches your show really should play that video game Silent Hill, all of them. Okay. Anyways, like I was saying, when I was growing up, about 18, 17 years old, I was, like, a really, really bad kid. And, you know, I believe that, like, entities, they show up when you're living wrong.
Yeah, I think you're right. What do you mean really bad? I mean, you did everything bad?
Like, let's say, like, I gave my mom and dad, I gave them hell. I mean, my dad, he was the sergeant of Kamau County Sheriff's Department. He still is.
Yeah.
I got him almost fired. I mean, my mom, she couldn't even finish college because I was such a jerk.
Wow.
Yeah.
Well, it sounds like you've changed.
Yeah, I changed. I married a Russian girl. She's really great. I mean, everything that I don't deserve, I've really changed. But anyways, what's so spooky was one night I was going to sneak out, and like I always did,
yeah,
to go out to go see a girlfriend. And I was laying in bed, and it was about 2:30 in the morning, and this cloud of smoke came over my bed. It started through the door, and it was over my CD player, and it sounded like little kids playing. It was, like, really spooky because it sounded like a bunch of little kids playing.
Yeah, that is spooky.
And it just, like that, you know? And, like, then it flew, like, right over my head, and it was, like, right in my face, and it was just, I could, like, feel it literally sucking the energy out of my body to where I couldn't move, couldn't speak, couldn't cry, couldn't try to fight with it. And it started saying, here it is, right now, right now. I got up, I ran to my brother's room and started telling him about it. And my brother, he knew about this already. And he made a noise, that same noise, like the kids playing. And then I was, like, just so scared, you know.
Did that change you, or did you keep your evil ways?
Oh, yeah, it changed me. It changed me really, really good, you know?
Yeah, because maybe I think you're right. I think when you surround yourself with so much negativity and evil, as you obviously did when you were a kid, you open up doors, portals, you let them in, and they just surrounded you. Wildcard line, you're up. Hi there. Hello.
Yeah, this is Dave, Memphis, Tennessee.
Hi, Dave. What's going on?
Oh, back in April 1995, I was living in Denton, about 30 miles north of Dallas-Fort Worth, and it was probably about April 21st, 22nd, a couple of days after the Oklahoma City bombing.
All right.
And I was in my double-wide mobile home at the time. It was securely tied down, sitting on the couch, middle of the afternoon, when all of a sudden the house gave a big jerk, and I heard a bang. And I thought, well, there's my next-door neighbor. He parks his pontoon boat next to the house. He just backed into the house.
Ah, yeah, exactly.
Step outside. There's no pontoon boat. There's no nothing. No cloud of smoke in the sky. Nothing.
No tornadoes rushing through. Nothing.
No. So I thought, well, right by the highway, maybe there's, you know, big truck explosion. No smoke from that or anything. And then the next day, the Denton Record Chronicle, I'm sure it's still in their archives, had a short article in there about how widespread this bang was felt over, I have no idea, 100 square miles.
So this huge concussion. What do you think it was?
Well, in light of the fact that the Oklahoma City, well, I was kind of just a guess. Maybe somebody said, hey, ammonia nitrate blows up. Let's try that.
Oh, I see what you mean. Somebody experimenting somewhere?
Possibly. They must have been a heavy experiment, though.
Yeah. But you would have thought that other people would have known about that one.
I would have had to put a cloud of debris in the sky or something.
Yes, absolutely.
But, yeah, they did mention it in the paper, so it's a recorded fact.
I wonder if some kind of a meteorite blew up in the atmosphere or something.
I have no idea. So I looked up. There was nothing in the sky, but 5 miles from my house was a Piggly Wiggly grocery store.
Okay.
Yeah, Double Wide Mobile Homes and Piggly Wiggly.
You got it. Village. Keep them tied down.
A big brick building, and they thought a truck had ran into the building. So, I mean, it was a severe concussion.
Well, I would go on stories, weather-related stories in the Midwest, and every time a tornado would hit, it was always those mobile home parks that got it all the time. And I think they're tied down, but still, somehow they sweep in. Speaking of rough weather, in Los Angeles about an hour ago, 60-mile-an-hour winds. I mean, this is like the coming global superstorm already. Nickel-size hail, they were talking about. What's happening? Let's go to our East of the Rockies line. You're up on Coast to Coast. Hi there.
Hi.
Hi.
This is Patty from Minnesota.
Hi, Patty.
Hi. I have a question for you that was brought up a long time ago about the flags on the military uniforms that were backwards.
Right.
And I didn't know if that was ever resolved or not, but when I mentioned that to my husband, because he had a flag on the back of his truck that he got quite a long time ago, like a couple years ago or more, and he said the flag on the back of the truck is backwards too, and I noticed that still recently on TV when some guy was on with the president, and it was still backwards. Did you ever find out?
There were a number of reasons for it, not specifically just one. One, it has to do with an honor of the flag, the positioning when you look back at it. There's a lot of things. Nothing weird or sinister about it, though, as some people have thought.
Yeah, because I noticed that, like, you know, if I turned and I was looking at it, like, or, you know, you're the same position as they were, it was still backwards.
Yep.
Yeah, I just didn't know if you knew if there was they made a mistake or
no.
I just was curious about that.
Done intentionally.
Yeah. Okay. And I was also going to ask you: do you know how long it takes to get the After Dark CD?
The one that goes with the newsletter, as opposed to the
the one with the bumper music and all that.
Oh, you'll probably get that within 2 to 3 weeks after you order it.
Oh, okay.
All right?
Okay, thanks.
Okay, thank you.
All right, bye.
We still have some time. Don't forget Dr. Morgis coming in for a few words of wisdom to take you into the weekend. As a matter of fact, I think he is going to be talking about Mary had a little zombie. So make sure you're ready for that one. Who's up next? Let's go to our first-time caller line. You're on Coast to Coast. Hi there.
This is Scott.
Hi, Scott. Where might you be?
I'm in Rangerville. I'm Max's dad. How are you doing?
Oh, fine, fine.
I had a strange thing happen over Christmas. My father-in-law passed back in November, and we always do the lineup shot for the photo album.
Yeah.
And we're sitting on a step, and we're sort of dressed alike, you know, to match for Christmas. But when we developed the photos, it was a disposable camera. It's my father-in-law that's sitting in the picture. I have glasses. They're very prominent on my face, and there's no glasses on, and the shirt that shows up in the photo looks like one of his fishing outfits.
I love it. I love it.
And I wanted to give you an update on Max. In the Smithsonian, in January of 2005, it mentions the red and blue pyramids. Do you remember that conversation a couple weeks back where my three-year-old son had a past life of being...
Yes. Okay. Yep.
In this last month's thing, it had that on there. And then he came home the other day, and we have that 8 pasted above our door, but it didn't fit the molding the right way, so we turned it sideways. And he goes, that looks like the infinity symbol.
See, how does a little 3-year-old kid know this stuff?
I don't know, but he's 16 now, and he showed me this, I consider it a bar trick, but you were talking about the string theory earlier tonight.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
And he takes a piece of paper, and he bets you that he can draw a line on both sides of the paper without lifting it off the table. And so I put my $5 down, and he takes a 1-inch piece of paper, maybe 12 inches wide, one piece of tape, and before it comes into a full circle, he twists it once. And then when you put your pen on the table and you pull the paper through, you end up with a continuous line on both sides of the pen.
The kid's a genius.
And
that's pretty good.
They were talking about the 6 planes of reality besides the other 4 dimensions. And he goes, oh, that just sounds like a box set of the new Jefferson airplane or something.
What? How's he doing at school? How are his grades?
In the classes that he likes, he's making straight A's, but there's a few that he has some problems.
You know, that is the case for someone who's a genius, like I think he is. When they like something, they ace it. When they don't, they just flunk these things.
Yes.
Okay, thanks for the call.
Thank you.
And the update, too. Yeah, he had his son, when he was 3 years old, had just new things. He was from a different life. I mean, he witnessed things. I mean, there's no doubt in my mind that this kid knew that. No doubt at all. Let's go west of the Rockies. You're on Coast to Coast. Hi there.
Hi. The thing we were talking about at the beginning of the show with the rocks that were moving in the desert, I just wanted to tell you, I did see, I think it was a NOVA special, it was about 5 or 6 years ago, where there was a man that was trying to prove that, and he did some time-lapse photography. And the sand, because of the high winds, and that is so super fine, when there's a heavy rain, it becomes so slick that even the really huge boulders, they do get moved along. And it showed it in time-lapse, how you could actually see them. And sometimes it only moved like a quarter of an inch or an inch at a time, but over a long period of time, you could see where they'd moved, and because there's nothing else going on, the little bit of movement would leave those furrows, and then nothing would really move the, you know, disturb the furrows. So
that's,
it would
yeah.
look like there was a lot of movement, but it may have taken a year to go maybe an inch or two.
That's what the geologist believes, too. And it's just, I kind of like to think that the rock's alive, and it has its own little way of wiggling down through the desert. That would be great for me. Hey, Dr. Morgis is here, and he's got some little words of wisdom to take you into the weekend. And don't forget his website, by the way. It's Morgis, MORGUS.com. I'll be back in a second. Wish you all a good weekend. But for now, sit back, relax, and enjoy Dr. Morgis.
Oh, wow. Mary had a little zombie. His flesh was green with mold. And everywhere that Mary went, the odor could be told. When at a dance one night, people began to stare. No matter which way they turned, the smell was in the air. One by one they left the scene, for who could stand the sight of Mary and her zombie who had lived a million nights? But Mary loved her creature to the horror of everyone. He may not smell so good, she said, but in the dark he's lots of fun.
Dr. Morgis, there's nobody like that guy, let me tell you. Hey, have a great weekend.